I'll do something interesting. We'll see if it works. I'm going to discuss Charvoina. Gam Charvoina Zocher Latoiv. And we'll use them as a guidebook, maybe through some of the Yonim that come up on Ben Ezmanim. So the shaila is, what does Charvoina have to do with Ben Ezmanim? Another shaila is, why Gam Charvoina Zocher Latoiv? And what Bechlal, this whole Indian of Charvoina, is a difficult thing. It starts out, his name is with an Aleph, it ends up with a Hey. Some say Charvoina is Eliyahu Navi. So I want to just use Charvoina as a guidebook. We'll see Be'etz Hashem. And we'll see Be'etz Hashem. I'll try to say different things of Halacha. What's Negeh now in Ben Ezmanim. Then maybe we'll take maybe just a few at the end. We'll talk like maybe just little chick-chack Halachas that are coming up. I think some of the Olam is also traveling, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. So, first of all, who was Charvoina? Who was Charvoina? Rabbi Stern will tell you the Arichas after, and I'll tell you the Vekitza. The Vekitza Charvoina was basically, seems to be the right man at the right place at the right time. Right? That's what Charvoina was. Right? He was, in the beginning of the Megillah, it's clear in the Gemara. The Gemara says in the Furish that all of the Sheva Sarisim, all of them, they were all Rishayim, and Charvoina was one of them. Taka Echain Kinievsky, in his Sefer, he writes, that's why in the beginning of that Megillah, we write his name with an Aleph. Aleph, my name is Shraga. Shraga is with an Aleph. Why? Because any name, which is a Yiddish name, which is a Goyish language, the name, it's not Lashon HaKodesh, it's in the Goyish language, so then the spelling, it says by Hilchas Gittin and Ebenezer, is with an Aleph. But let's say, so for example, in Fago, right, or Golda, these are Yiddish names. They're not Jewish, they're Yiddish, they're Jewish names, but they're Goyish language names. So the spelling, Mamish Alpi Hilchas Gittin, it's very Negea, but it's in Negea, I call upon him and everything, in Ksuvis and whatnot, has to be with an Aleph. Masha'en Kain, if it's a Lashon HaKodesh name, like Dina is a Lashon HaKodesh name, it's a name in the Torah, so then it's with a Hey. So Dr. Chaim Kinievsky, Charvoina in the beginning was an Aleph. He was a Rasha. Then at the end, so then it's with a Hey. With a Hey, either because it's Tzaka Mamash Eliyahu Navi, it's a Yid at the end, or because no, at the end he did a good thing for Klal Yisrael. So what happened here? What was the good thing he did for Klal Yisrael? So the whole Matzav is building up, and Achashverosh is getting angrier and angrier and angrier. And then he sees all of a sudden this Haman, and Haman's on the bed with his wife, it's getting worse and worse and worse. Finally, all of a sudden, he says, what's going on? Gam tichbo yishmach. Boom, walks in. Charvoina says, and the person who spoke Toiv al HaMelech, Mordechai, and he built a tree to go and hang, this Merdeka person who talks good about the Melech, the Talu'alites. And Achashverosh, that was the Makkah B'Potish. So he was the right man, at the right place, at the right time, right? That's exactly what happened. And because of that, for all of eternity, we will say, Gam Charvoina Zocher Latoiv. And that, in Shoshanas Yaakov, most of us don't know the words maybe all the way through the middle, but we know it starts out Shoshanas Yaakov, and the last words we know also, Gam Charvoina Zocher Latoiv. So what's the shot? So here, see, Merdek is out. And what did he do, Sachako? He did it L'Shem Shemayim. He saw an opportunity. He saw us an angry king. He was originally a Rashi Gomer, who was also part of the decree. And then at the end, he saw Achashverosh getting angrier and angrier, and he saw, Haman, let's get rid of Haman. Yeah, I'm sure in the Purim Spiel they have a field day with this. But let's get rid of Haman, let's get rid of him once and for all. And he says, hey, look, and he built a tree, go and hang him on it. Yeah? Now it's interesting, how did he know that the tree was Chamishim Amah? How did Chavayna know all the Midrashim? How did Chavayna know that the tree was Chamishim Amah? Zakhtam Mefarshim, you see, the Gemara says, you see that because Charvoina originally he helped build the tree. You only know the size of the tree if you helped build the tree. So here he is, he says, how did he know that the tree was Chamish and Teretz is? Because he was in on it also. Side by side. That's the aside. The Charvoina. Gam Charvoina Zakhtam Mefarshim for what? For the fact that he was the right man, the right place, right there. So what do you see from over here? You see a Merit Kazakh, and this will be the first lesson in Ben Ezmanim. The Torah Tumima, the Mamloyes in Shoiftim. In Shoiftim, the Mamloyes, there's a Merdeka Limit over there by Gidoy and in Perichas. He talks all about the Midah of Akaras HaToiv. That here you have a Matziv of somebody who didn't really do something so L'Shem Shemayim, right? But the Maisa Toiv came out for Klal Yisrael from this Maisa. So we have to have Akaras HaToiv. Now, I want to explain this. There's a Medrash in Esther, which when you hear the Medrash for the first time, it's for sure, by far, one of the most Talmudic and Midrashim in the Ganze, all the Midrashim. The Medrash describes the situation where Haman sends out the letter to all of the people to tell them about these Jewish people and how bad they are and what. So what does he write? He writes, let me tell you about these Jews and what kfuye toiv they are. Such kfuye toiv. He says, they go down to Mitzrayim. It's all in the Medrash, and it's Meirich and Meirich. They go down to Mitzrayim, and here's this paroi, that they have these poor Nibel, this poor Nibel country, and they're being benevolent and bal chasadim and saving everyone in the world, and they give all of the Jewish people that came down to Mitzrayim a place to live, and they give them a nice makim, and they feed them, and they're mefarnes them. And what happens? Not only that, he gives them the schluss of building the palaces of the king, which is a schluss in any medina, to be zaycha, to be the one that builds the king's palace and the king's fortress and the king's area, and he gives them the schluss to do it. And what happens? These kfuye toiv, these Jews, right? They get up one day, and they start to wreak havoc with their magic tricks all over Mitzrayim. They come one day and they say, we want to just leave for so sure, Paro is such a wonderful person, a benevolent king, and he gives them gold and jewelry to go on their trip. They're going to come back, and he tries to help them. Then he finds out that they took all his money. He thought they were coming back. They just needed to dress up for the chasen, you know, so they gave out jewelry. And now he found out that they're taking all of his money and they're leaving Mitzrayim, such kofi toif. So he ran after them to get back his money, like any normal person. And then after it, he gets to the Yam and just have this magician, some Moshe Rabbeinu character, and he goes and he opens the sea, and Paro says, yeah, but all my gansa favega and my entire parnosa, and he starts running after them, and then they close the sea. Such kfuye toiv. That's why we want to kill the Jews. Now, when you read this, it's mamish, an unbelievable thing. By us, the whole limit of all the parashas in Mitzrayim is Paro's a kofi toiv, Paro's a kofi toiv, Paro's a kofi toiv. God, look what Yaakov did for Paro. He gave the bracha for Mitzrayim. Yosef, what he did for Mitzrayim, kofi toiv. Vayakov melech chodesh on Mitzrayim, Hashalai hikres, Yosef, kofi toiv, kofi toiv, kofi toiv. So you see over here that the midah, the midah of the one that's kofi toiv, the midah of the one that's a kofi toiv, it's that everybody else doesn't appreciate me. Everybody else doesn't appreciate, right? And he's the one that passes and says, you know, kala paisel b'muma paisel. That's time in the Surah Sadavar. On Purim, we go to the other extreme, right? On Purim, we go to that other extreme, that the midah of akar satoiv and kofi toiv is to be obliterated legamre, to go with the midah and gansin of akar satoiv. And that's why, taka, that's why, gam charvoina, even charvoina, even charvoina is akar latoiv. You know, there was somebody who came to my house the other day who, the electricity went out. We had a problem with the electricity. Somebody came to the house and we fixed it. And my wife is saying, oh, thank you so much. It was a great help. And one of my children says, we paid him. Right? Like, you know, she's giving him such a car, such a type, such thank you, such this, that. Right? But we're paying him. Right? And we're lacking. That's a toy. So I explained to my children, no. And somebody comes, he helps you, even if you're paying him. Right? But a chesed, a toiv came out from him. Doesn't matter. You get a ride from a cab. You're paying him. Right? So we think, I don't have to thank him. I don't have to be a mensch. I'm paying him. Right? He has to do it now. Right? But it's a toiv. A toiv. Gam charvayna zocher latoiv. Now this is the first limit of ben hazmanim. What's the first limit? It's like Rav Chatzkel Levenstein, the Mashkiach. People come to him and ask him, what's the avoid of ben hazmanim? What's the avoid? So he would say to them, es git and the mistama litvisha, es gut and the mamzala nohobin. Right? Eat good, and your mother should have a no. In other words, what's the first limit of ben hazmanim? Right? Is a person, you know, whatever is going to make his parents happy, do. So what makes your parents happy? Eat good, your mother will have a no. Do that. That's the first lesson of ben hazmanim. That's a karas hatayif. What happens a lot of times on ben hazmanim, a person comes, I do this, I do that, and it turns into that letter that we read down, and we laughed so hard at Haman HaRasha. And I do this, I do that, my mother doesn't appreciate, my father this, right? And we have to have mamish an eternal karas hatayif. Right? I'm not going to be Mayuch on Kibbut Avein. You should read one thing. I'm going to give rules as we go along. You read before you leave this country, before you go into your house, you read just the Chayodam on Kibbut Avein. Go and read the Chayodam. It's very easy Hebrew. Read the Kitzur also, but the Chayodam, right? Read over there. It has about one page of the Halachas of Kibbut Avein, whatever's Negeya. Read more. Whatever's not Negeya, read faster. Right? Read it before you walk into the house. Read it every time that your mother gives you a hard time. Right? Read it every time your father gives you a hard time. Read that page. Over there, he writes something unbelievable. He says, the Ikka Chiv, I think, what are they learning? Kiddushin? Yeah. He says, the Ikka, so he learned. He spent the whole time learning this. But he writes there something very interesting. You'll find me the Makor in the Gemara one day. He says that the Chiv of Kibbut Ave'im is to, not just in Maisim, but to look at his parents like they're Gedoyle Oilam. I read this the first time. It's a difficult thing. But it makes sense. Rabbi Allah is supposed to stand up for his parents. We spoke about this. Right? He has to stand up for his parents. So obviously, if you stand up for your parents, you stand up for Rabbi, you stand up for God. Obviously, there's some type of a, you know, the only way to really appreciate this is that everybody, when you have a certain attitude, right, he can look at his parents, he can find something about his parents, that there's something about my father, about my mother, that she is the God of the door in this. And everything else not. We know. But everything else is different. But there's one thing about her. Find out one thing, and that's what you stand up for. That'll direct you. Then you'll read the Chayyadim again. You'll appreciate it. But that's number one. Okay. Number two is the next lesson of Charbayna. The next lesson of Charbayna, very interesting, is that, you know, we like to think that starting things, that's what's klashiv. Right? So we're all going to Ben Hasman, and we're going to start up, we're going to have a chavrusa, you know? We go in with a murdic intention and whatever, man. Starting stuff. Charbayna, what did Charbayna do in the story over here? He was the Makkah B'Patish. Achashverosh is getting angrier and angrier and angrier and angrier. And the steam coming, and all of a sudden, right? Charbayna says, you know what? And you don't even realize he made a tree to hang Mordechai, who talked good about the king. Kill him, right? He was the Makkah B'Patish, right? He was the one that the Makkah B'Patish. So, you see, Meretz Gezach, because of that, the whole story is Nikra al Shmai, right? Like Hilu, we know Achashverosh probably would have killed Haman anyways, right? But in the tzura of how it came out, it doesn't look like that. In the tzura it came out, Chavayda, bam, right? And because of that, the whole story. It's a certain attitude that a person should have, like if it's a goal on Ben Hazmanim, he wants to finish something. He wants to finish something. You should go in with this attitude. I don't know how it works over here. Next man's a new Masechta. Kedushin Vayta. What's that?
Kedushin for
Rikias. Kedushin for you. But the Oilam finished Rikias Kedushin?
Oh, not for our
Chabur. But the Oilam finished Kedushin Rikias?
Well, a lot of guys.
So he makes a goal. What's his goal? Right? Kedushin is 81 blot or 80 blot, whatever it is. 80 blot, right? Baruch, 3 blot a day. 3 blot a day. He says, oh, Callus, be normal, be a part of this world, okay? Stop playing like, you know, man, like Rechaim Kanievsky's children and whatever, right? Be normal, right? But he's wrong. So you know what? I don't know if the Rosh Yeshiva would like this. I'm going to whisper it still. So take an art scroll and read 3 blot a day and find time to read 3 blot a day. 3 blot a day, it's 27 days. I'm chayshish that there might be 2 or 3 days. I know it's more than 27, but I'm chayshish there might be 1 or 2 days now. Go in with that goal and finish Kedushin. And you know, you must well. The person says, that's impossible, Kalis is insane. So fine. So take a certain amount that you did in the Bekiyas at least, and chazada. And go in with the attitude that I'm going to finish it. That's gam charvoyna zachar l'toyf. Everyone's going to start out without a goal. I'm going to make a chavrusa. And whatever, you know, learn and whatever. And, okay. But if he goes, let him go in with a goal. Gam charvoyna zachar l'toyf. Maki B'Patish. He wants to finish something. Okay, if you think that's too insane, but whatever it is, it should be a goal. Right? I'm going to do a blot. I'm going to finish the blot. Right? Okay. But it has to be a goal. That's a good limit from charvoyna zachar l'toyf. Akopanim, that's number two. Number three is also Charvayna. Right? You know, we say that it's a merit of Gezach. We say, I heard this once from a thing from Yashiv Taka, that he said, what's the pshat? We say, Avinu Malkeinu, Zachreinu, L'Schuyas. Remember us for Schuyas. Avinu Malkeinu, Zachreinu, Kasveinu, B'Sefer, Parnasa, this should be written in the book of Parnasa. Kasveinu, B'Sefer, Mechila, Refuas and Yeshua, somewhere, you know. Right? But Schuyas means what? Put me in the book to have, it doesn't mean Schusim, like, you know, to have Schusim. It means put me in the book of Schuyat. What's a Schuyat? That I should be able to do mitzvahs. I should be able to do mitzvahs, right? Uncle Moshe, man, I should be able to do mitzvahs. So we asked the Ribbono Shel Olam to put us in the opportunity of doing mitzvahs. What's that? What's that? That's Charvayna. Third lesson in Charvayna. Charvayna was, like I said, the right man. In the right place, at the right time, right? And he took advantage of it. Right? You know, I'm Benazmanim, I talk a lot of times in that matziv. In that matziv, you know, it's harder for us to learn in that matziv, the matziv Benazmanim, and not in the same structure, and not in the same this. Right? And we have opportunities, whether it's, you know, maybe learning with a younger Bocher who needs chizik and whatnot, etc. There are a lot of opportunities that open up. Maybe it's chesed, maybe it's helping people. Helping people with cleaning, helping people with this. Some people do the time Shabbos, all the things. But there's a tremendous amount of opportunities. And it's Merit Gezach. We're so busy trying to figure out how we can have fun in a kosher way on Ben Hazmanim. And there are so many millions of opportunities that open themselves up for us to be able to do Merit Gechassad, Merit Gehel, Merit Gehel, right? And we're just, our eyes are closed. And there's Chavayna sitting in the room, and all of a sudden, he sees Haman on the bed, he sees Achashverosh getting angry, and he sees the moment. And he chapped. That's the third lesson over here. Is you're going into Ben Hazmanim, you're going into a time of tremendous opportunity. Tremendous opportunity. But this, Rabbi Isai, is one limit. That's the limit of Ben Hazmanim. The Iker I really want to spend is to try to give a little bit of the Chik Chak Halachas of what you know you need to know basically in basic Pesach, right? And basic traveling, etc. We'll go from the plane and we'll get you into your houses and then hopefully we'll get you back here.
Through Mezhbish.
Okay, so we'll get you through there. Right? This year no skiing, I guess. Fine. And then Mezhbish is not known for the skiing slopes. But Al Kapanim will bring you back. What are they doing over there? Kvarim and Kifarim, like you know. Kifarim, you know. Okay, so enjoy and right. Any place you get in trouble, tell me. You know, Shragi Kals. It might help you. It might not help you.
Budapest.
Okay. So in regards to my say this. So let's go in order. Number one is the plane. I can't obviously go through 30 million halakas, but just little things that come up. Number one is that on the plane they're going to give you a meal. Give you a meal. This is one of my personal favorites, and I've said it here in the past, and I want you to remember it, though. On the plane, they give you a meal, and that meal, they double wrap. And that meal, next to that double wrap meals, and you guys are going not Elal, if I'm not mistaken.
We are going.
Are you going Elal? Yeah. Okay, because you're going on, what?
Austria.
Air Austria. Oh, so that's like, you know, the other food that they have in Austrian airlines, and the Rabbanut Hechsher is also not known to be, if it's one of the best Hechsherim in the world. So the Hechsherim that are going inside the oven at the same time is Chazer Burgers, and the juice of the Chazer Burgers is going all over your bag. That's why you have there a bag to block it from coming in. So what happens? You get that bag in front of you. Somehow on a plane, it's together up Sleba Shemaimi, and we see in front of us food, and we see in front of us, you know, an opportunity. And everything falls out the window, and we start remembering that, well, if a callus keeps talking about these Mizonis rolls, and that they're not really Mizonis, but I'm hungry, and it's here, and to wash is in a... It's a Sekana. It's a Sekana to wash. The seatbelt side is not on, but it could go on. It's Mamish Sakana. And not only that, what would happen if everybody got up to wash? Then the plane would tip over. Right? So Zikr Sakana, some stomach is Sakana. So, and to not eat is also, you could die. The Gemara says Mefirsh and then Darm. If the other person doesn't eat for 3 days, you could die. Mestama being an airplane because it goes very fast. So you can wind up going 3 days and it's a Sakana. It's Mamish Sakana. So therefore, there's no Shaila. Adrab, it's a Chi of Gomer. Mestama shouldn't even make a Mesinus. You should probably even make a Bar Priyates. Mestama should make a Bar Priyates because one of the Mandamrim that they ate Hadas, the Chet of Esadas, I hold it was probably that he ate a Mesinus roll. And one of the Mandamrim was that it was a Chita. One of the Mandamrim was Chita. It's a Chita, and it says, Mina Eitza Zeh, Taichel, some Mela, it's Mamish, you should make a Bar Priyates. And Fakar, it would be in a very Gedoyla to make. It's only Shaila, do you have to make an Ala Eitze afterward? That's the only Shaila. That's a, you know, but so Pashtis, it's not true. And those Mesinus rolls, even in Shemayim are Hamaiti, and anybody who does not like that is clearly over on a Bracha Levatala and not making Galitza, other types of Bracha. We're not going into that now. But Al Kapanim, all these things when he's in front of the Zionist roll, he sort of, he's hungry and he wants it. So he takes the bag and he starts ripping it open. Right? And there's the bag, and now underneath there's a silver. Now he has on his hand all that juice, right? All that juice from the right. So what does he do? So if he's if no one's looking, so right. So now he just ate Chazer Burgers, juice and grease. And if he was a little bit more proper, so he used the fork and the knife that they give you, and he took it out and he cut through the bag, and now he has, oh, so good, because he's much more efficient. Now he gets to put constantly into his food all of those blias, right? So in every biteful, he gets to eat Chazer Burgers. Yummy, right? So therefore, the Eitzah is, of course, that it's not such a problem. What I do, I'll explain to you what I do on the airplane. I open up the bag. Before I go to wash my hands, the Tilas Yadayim. So now the bag is here. Now you open up the bag. What?
This is double wrap.
Come again?
This is the second wrap.
Ah, so Elamai, you're going to say the story, the famous story on the plane. So if the story happened, don't know, right? Api Alocha, the story's not Negeya. Because since there's a fear factor, right? You know, like, first of all, we know the story is not true because the way the story goes is he says, I wanted to see, I heard that the kosher meal is better than the non-kosher meal. Right? So we know that that story never happened. Right? And also, a pialocha, since I can come back at any time and say, gotcha. Right? Where's the gun? Right? So, since I can come back at any time, right? You know, I'm walking to the bathroom and all of a sudden, right? Drop it! Drop it, man! Right. No, I just wanted to see if it's Mizinus. It says Mizinus, you liar! No, it's not Mizinus. No, this one doesn't. Okay. Right. Okay. Lost the bullet. Okay. But so being that that's the case, the story al pi halacha is nishtal iskalden, and you're allowed to go to the bathroom. You're allowed to go to the bathroom, and you're allowed to leave your meal behind, because there's a fear factor that the person might come back at any moment, especially because there's other skull-capped wearing individuals on the plane, right, who are going to look and see if Barney is trying to get into your food. So therefore, he opens up the bag, he opens up the whole matzav over there, he takes, you know, the silver foil underneath. At that point, he doesn't have to touch. That part doesn't have the chazaburger juice. He can leave it, he'll still have it hot, don't worry. Then he goes, he washes his hands anyways in the TLC Dayim in the bathroom. Shouldn't use those paper cups, because those little tiny paper cups, they don't even hold the revius, and number two, the water goes right through them. But you can use any other basic plastic cup on the plane if you have no choice. If you're stuck, you could use it. They also, I use that cup that they give you for the tea. It's a wonderful cup, right? It's wonderful. It's a very, very strong cup. It's reusable. You know, I'm not saying you should take it home and use it for Nagelwasser every day, but it certainly is enough. He fills it up a couple of times, make sure you get the whole hand, come back. You don't make the bracha until you die in the bathroom. You come outside, you make the bracha, you sit down, you make that good. That's number one. Number two is, there's also something to think about. Again, when we're in a plane and there's food and this and Lebish and Miami, it's like all of a sudden we sort of like, I don't know if it's going to be Negea this on the trip to Budapest, but it might be Negea on the trip back to New York, and it might be Negea on the trip back to... Sometimes our trip comes out at a time which is before Alois. Now, you have to remember that halacha applies even in an airplane. If it's within 30 minutes before Alois, so then you're not allowed to start a meal. Right? So that's the halacha. So sometimes, you know, we wake up and we're tired and we're this, and the windows are closed, right? Now, if you open up the window, just a crack, you'd see it's like pitch white outside. Totally light, and it's mamish, you know, there's tons of light. It's already daytime, or it's at least alois, and at that point, you're not allowed to eat. You're before davening. That doesn't change. You're allowed to have a coffee to wake you up, and this and that, right? But you're not allowed to watch. Now, if you're more than a half an hour before alois, so then the halacha is that you're allowed to. I think this is Negea, sometimes the New York flight. Sometimes it's not Negea. I know this last time when I traveled 3 weeks ago to New York, it wasn't Negea because the flight left here at, I think it was 12 at night, and it got in at 6 in the morning. But that was way before Alois at that point. Now it gets a little bit more complicated, because now I think with daylight savings times, it might be a problem. I don't know 100%, but every travel agent will be able to tell you when Alois is on the plane. And that's a problem, because they're serving that meal an hour before landing. And an hour before landing, like I'm telling you, might be Alois. Or at least it might be within a half an hour before Alois, and then you're not allowed to start a meal. So what do you do? You're not going to give up this meal, so just take it with you. Right? Avada. That's Avada. And on your way, so that way you can tell your parents, no, they're not going to Dunkin' Donuts. I eat Challah Yisrael, and I have the meal from the plane. Right? What do you mean, Dad? Right? What are you talking about? Okay, so that's number two. Okay, so now we traveled on the plane. I'll tell you one more thing. Like, I'll be davening on a plane, just... You know, so if you guys are all together on the plane and it's that type of a matziv where it's mitzudur and it's allows for a minyan, it allows for that type of matziv, so then, you know, I don't have a problem diving on a plane. But if the pshat is the matziv is where, you know, it's going to be a shter and a schlep and a matziv for everyone around you and you're going to be diving, could you stand up for a moment? Stand right here. Now just daven with a lot of kavana, like this. Huh? No, you're not looking at me. No, but the mouth open.
Yeah, talk. I hear you almost.
Okay. Excuse me. So then, it's going to be very hard to daven in that matziv, right? And since it's very hard to daven, to concentrate in that matziv. No, sometimes they massage it for you, and they say, look, we're going to give you a minyan on the plane, and we're going to, you know. So fine, if you're in that type of matziv, good. You have to feel out the matziv. I was on the plane just now, and somebody came to me, and he told me that they arranged a minyan. I told him, ich daven nicht minyan plane. I don't have an minyan on a plane because it's going to stare others. They said, no, they got rishos, and they're going into a certain place, and they got the rishos and whatever. And the second I got there, the stewardess was staring, and she started saying, what's going on here, and this and that. So they obviously didn't get rishos and cows, went back to the seat, and you dive into the seat. What can you do? I'm not saying it's a lichat chila to kamatziv. And again,
sitting down?
What?
Sitting down. What
can I do? They ain't malasot, they have no prayer. In that case over there, I went to a place far away from the other minyan, which didn't bother anybody, which is a little hovel in the back and a little corner, and I stood up over there, and I davened Shemoneh Atzeret, and I was facing a wall, right? I hope it was Mizrach, right? And I'm facing somewhere, and you put your head as far into a corner as you can, and you daven. But again, I want to make this clear, because in years past, when I say this, everybody thinks that I come out, and I say, it's also davening in a plane. It's a tally in the matziv that you're in. If the matziv is going to be a matziv of where you could have a minion on the plane, so then I have no problem with it. All I do is I get the one seat that nobody wants. Right? This time it didn't work out because someone else made my ticket, but when I went in, what I try to do is I try to get the back seat. Right? Because usually they make the minion in the back, so then I could sit in my place while they're having their minion. Shalom Yisrael. I could listen to Yesh May Rabbi. I could even stand up in my place. Doesn't bother anybody. That's the best. Okay, not everybody's like to that. I'm saying, but the concept is at least if it's possible to have a minion in a way where it's not bothering people, then do it. If it's not possible, then you will not be able to have kavana anyway. So therefore, that's davening. Now, Avad L'Mashal. Just the ikkar is not that. The ikkar is to bring out that, that you, I'm just showing you how b'di'evit the whole davening situation on planet. So therefore, this answers up all the shailos that people ask me. They ask me if I could daven on the plane and it'll be after Nate's, right? And there'll be a minion on the plane. Or I could daven right now in the airport. It's right after Alois, right? And there's no minion. Definitely in the airport, no shiloh in the world without a minion. No shiloh. Right? To be able to daven and ruikite with calmness and whatnot, even by himself, that's called davening. The other thing is not called davening. The other thing is you have a minion, got tefillin, got 10 Jews, but you just don't have God, right? That you have to work all these things out. So that's the concept. That answers most of the shilas people ask me. Now, if a person calls me up, he says to me, I could daven mincha on the plane, or I could daven mincha off the plane, but it's after Shkia, right? And it's, you know, the flight was on Monday, and it's going to be Thursday, right? So then that's a bit of a problem, right? So what does he do? So he has to daven sitting down. What can I tell him? If he doesn't have a brain, he has to daven sitting down, right?
What about Motzi in front of, like, Erva, like, when you buy a
so make sure you don't, right? What do you know, when she walks by, right? And then make the bracha. Sorry?
What is that?
What, how do I punch her? No, you don't need a gun. Right, you got one of these.
Oh, you're allowed to close your eyes. You
try these. You're supposed to not face it. Look at you're supposed to not face it.
You're
not supposed to face an ergo. If you have no brain, where you can close your eyes, we make up, but you have to close your eyes. But look at you're not supposed to face her.
You could look straight, even though she's right on your right.
Yeah, but I don't understand what the big deal is. Why can't you just go over? Can I just put my jacket on just for a minute? I have to make a bracha. Right? People understand these things. Yeah. People understand these things.
What? Open-minded,
Nate's bechidus on the plane. He's going to do one of these. What about this? Let's go. Wait, slowly, slowly. Slow. Nate's bechidus on the plane. Or what?
Off the plane.
Look the other way.
At what time will be the minion?
Nine or four?
One, Schwebel. Which one? No. It makes a big enough. What? What time is Zman Tefillah? It'll be before Zman Tefillah?
Yeah.
Then there's no Shaila. It'll be before Zman Tefillah, there's no Shaila. There's no Shaila. You understand the Shaila? That's a good point. I just want to give you the, you know, you're not always going to be able to call Rebbe Kallis, right? He might see your, he might have your number. Right? So, you know, you're going to get off the plane. Now, you know Be'erich, right? A lot of you guys come up therm. That's the problem. That's the case. No, but now you know basically how to gauge it. You know how anti I am davening on a plane. But avada, you have to daven. Right? So if you're going to tell me it's going to be Zman Tefillah, and even the second Zman Tefillah, but I'll get a minion off the plane, or I'll daven. Listen closely. Rabbi Schwebel was even, I'm going to be even less nice than Rabbi Schwebel. Even if off the plane, I'll get Zman Tefillah, but I'll get Zman Tefillah without a minion. Without a minion. But on the plane, I'll get Nate's, Mamash and Nate's minion. Mamash Nate's. It's the song of Mamash Nate's in this by the Geisel. Right? But I would still prefer him davening off the plane. As long as it's within this Zman Tefillah of Shachris. Of that day. Right? So, you understand what I'm saying? But that's how you have to gauge the Shailas. In other words, I have to make sure I'm being Yoytei Tefillah, but anything on the plane is Geferlich B'di'evin and davening. That's number one.
What about your tefillin? Right?
Come again?
Your tefillin.
Yeah, God, I just mind my mosgar. What I do a lot of times is before I go on the plane, I know they're giving the meal right away. Right? You know, I'm not so into the meal, but, you know, there's food in front of me. You know? So that's like not a havamina by most of us to not eat the meal. We can't understand the guy that puts on the mask and just goes to sleep. I mean, they're giving food. What's he doing? You don't understand that guy. I don't understand that guy. None of us understand that guy. I'm not even hungry, but they're giving a meal. So that's it. Right? But the act of the six-hour halacha still apply if you're fleishik, you're not allowed to eat milk or something. Even in Shemayim they apply. But Al Kapanim, even when the time zone is changing, and even though you're really hungry, and even though the call. But, so just one akuda is, what was I just mentioning? The brain just fell out. What was I about to say? Oh dear.
Davening, Nates.
Davening.
Eating on the
plane. Eating on a plane. We have to eat, right? Oh, so what I do a lot of times because we have to eat. Thank you. What I do a lot of times is because you know, there's no half of me that's not eating, and getting up and washing is a bit annoying on a plane. Even I'll admit, right? So what I a lot of times do is I'll wash at the airport, with the das to continue my meal.
What about the wrappers of the...
Oh, so then you take a baby wipe with you. What, you don't walk on a plane with baby wipes? What? Jacob's... You take a baby wipe with you, and that's what everybody likes, to have a baby wipe with him wherever he goes anyways, right? Because you can't use him on Shabbos. You might as well use him on Tuesday. So, the kids are, there he is. I wipe his hands off from the baby, right? Or I could ask the guy next to me, who doesn't seem to be mocking very much, could just open up my bag, right? I see you need more...
Right.
It's bad. It's actual schmutz. It's real schmutz.
Yes,
a batal b'shishim is only at common, and also you're not allowed to be mevatel b'shishim at kofanim. But here, you know, it's mamish the real schmutz.
That's
a kofanim.
Sorry. No, but you're not allowed to lechatchila. Ain't mevatel nisul lechatchila. Not allowed to do that lechatchila. No, you're not allowed to take the fork and the knife, and then you're going to use it to cut open your food. And then you're going to use it to put into your food.
They don't wrap anything.
No, we're always chayshish. It says in first in halacha that even between milk and meat, we make a person wash his hand because maybe he's going to touch the food. Right? Oh, I'm sorry, Rabbi Rubin. There's, on the plane, they give out these Zionist rolls also. And you eat that with a fork and knife? Right? These guys don't. Me and you, we eat them with a fork and knife. That's a mention. Right? But these guys, they don't eat them with forks and knives. They eat them with their hands.
How does the Chazar Jews get out of the silver thing if everything's wrapped?
No. The Goyish meals aren't wrapped. The Goyish meals are wrapped. Inside the oven, if you look in there, you'll hear oink, oink. Right?
On halal. It's a thing you get.
If you look very closely, and he's there knocking away. Lobster, shrimp, right, and all of the other stuff. Rabbanut Ramallah, of course. Sorry.
On a lot of the
it's wrapped.
Great food is wrapped in the.
No, it's not wrapped. It's not wrapped.
It's in the metal tin.
It's not wrapped. Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes not.
Okay.
I don't know.
And it's in the metal tin.
And you're going to go into the oven and see what point they put that on and what point it comes off, and if it comes off. Again, in the world of kashrus, these things don't go in the lechatchila. You want to know if Taka, if you know 100% that that's the metzias, and that can sign. If nothing came out, it's Yericho, nothing came out, nothing went in. That's can sign. Now,
you have to assume that the
chazar
just fell on the wrapping?
No, but again, that's why we're double. It's all the shitascha. Why are you double wrapping? Why are you going double wrapping? Because you're afraid. Oink, oink, oink. Right? That's what you're afraid of. So that means you're chayshish that the chazar juice is coming on you. Oh, so I said, that's cool for what? Okay. Now, if I said, that's the plane. I got you all the way to America. I must tell you that Rabbi Kallis is makel, that you can have the coffee. Rabbi Kallis is makel, you can have the coffee on the plane. Some aren't. I makel, you can have the coffee. However, the big however.
Right?
Come again? Definitely allow. Any airline is a bakum to be makel also. Because Lamaisa, we say that the utensils they use are miyuchid just for coffee, and even if it got washed in the washing machine garden, but there's enough dishwasher, detergent, and whatnot that it's payigim and whatnot, and it's miyuchid usually just for coffee, and coffee generally doesn't need a hacker, especially it's a non-flavored coffee. However, you just have to be careful of one thing. It's not as negeya what I'm about to say now, let's say on Elal, and it is negeya when you take these, like, you know, these interesting airlines that people take, you know, like there's a guy pedaling, right? You know?
Dan's deal.
You know? What? No, deal's Dan, you know, like that bad, right? And there's a guy pedaling, like, come on. What are you doing in yeshiva all year? Let's go. So if that's the type of airlines you are, a lot of times they have, like, this milk. And I was just on an airplane that I think I mentioned the story, right? And I was on a normal airline, but that was the milk, right? And I was on a mare. Again, I don't think this is Matzias and Halal. I think they just give you those power of dreadful creamers, which are very healthy, and they're power, so there's no problem. But a lot of times they have these boxes of milk, and it says in big letters, kosher. Now, this is the biggest site in life. The bigger you write the letter kosher, you know, like when Rashi, it says Rashi on the top of the page in Nedarim, right? It ain't Rashi, right? So you have to write it, and every other Masech in Shas, it doesn't say the word Rashi on top of the page, right? In the new Gemaras, they don't even do this anymore. But in the olden days, they used to write on top of the page in, like, Nedarim and in Nazir, they write Rashi. Now, interesting, in Masech the Kedushin, on the top of the page, it doesn't say Rashi, yeah? Pumplach in Nedarim, it says, and it kashes, right? So the answer is, because it's not Rashi, Right? So once it's not Rashi, you got to write Rashi. It's the same thing here, like the milk. You know, when they write in massive letters, kosher, right? Got to be nervous, right? Why are they writing in such big letters? And also, who is saying it's kosher? Well, the printer. The printer. What? No, so Chalav Stam, even if a person doesn't eat Chalav Yisrael, he says, I eat Chalav Stam and whatever. But that's all, let's say, in New York, in America, where there's somewhat of a pikuach of the FDA and whatnot, USDA. But Rav Moshe's heter certainly doesn't apply to some Hungarian shtetl where Taka, you know, and we ran out of cow milk today. Right, you know, all of a sudden you hear oink, 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 right? That's funny, okay. Well, that's, all right. So, Mamela, in USDA, Rav Moshe was not talking about like Budapest circa 1843. We haven't gone much past that point. So, Mamela, you can't drink that milk. Okay, that's a different schmooze. I'm saying, whoever's not Machmir, obviously, I'm not going involved in that. That's a very different schmooze. I'm saying, you know, you just have to know the matzav, okay? So we got you on the plane, we got you coffee, we got you tefillah, we got you a mezain as well. Sorry?
You can ask for hot water also.
You can ask for hot water, the fetus also can ask for hot water. Yeah. Now, that we basically have gotten you to there. Now, where else should I take you? Well, we have 6 minutes, it would be a shame not to talk about something. What should we talk about?
More about flying on Pesach?
Sorry?
Flying on Pesach itself.
Your meal?
Anybody's flying on Pesach? If it's like, yeah, I'll talk about it, but if anyone's not flying on Pesach, I got it, I'm flying on Pesach, I'm saying, but like, I don't think anybody else is, but anybody else flying? I'll tell you what I have to worry about. There's a big shiloh, because the guy sitting next to you, he's eating chametz, and Mishpura says, in Simin Tov Mem, in Sif, Zion, the Mishpura says over there, that you have to worry about that one little flugi of chametz, which is going to be flying. Because even one dot of chametz is a problem. So you're not even allowed to eat next to somebody. And this has nothing to do with hecker. It doesn't help hackers. There's little chametz.
What do? You bring your
own. You can't see us not there.
So, well, no, you have to bring a mechitza, right? So when you come down to eat, right? So you know, you put up. I'm sorry, don't be insulted, right? until he finishes the meal, put it between you because we don't want any of the things flying over. But again, I don't think anybody here is traveling on Passover, so maybe let's leave it. Let's pass over.
Business.
Sorry?
That solves the problem, no?
If you travel what?
Fly business.
That solves all problems. That certainly does. Sorry? Bachram, whose mothers are Jews or no? the Bachram that the mother is a Jew or the mother's a guy? The mother's a Jew, then L'chari he has to either get rid of all of his chametz, must get rid of all his chametz, or, sorry?
I don't have anything.
You don't have anything? You don't have anything? There's always epis like one, Ragala. Right? There's always epis like epis, you know.
Tati's going to make the sale.
Oh, so you have to tell Tati that you have to be included in the sale, and if your father says, yeah, it's fine. Yeah, that means it's not fine. This is a real Kenyan, we believe in this, and you have to go to the Rav yourself, and tell, it's so easy, everybody say. Don't worry, he won't even ask you for money. You just have to tell him that I have, and you have to tell him you're an Eretz Yisrael, because there's a whole shaila about your chametz and Eretz Yisrael and whatever. Fine, you tell him the rabbi knows how to deal with it, and just sell the chametz. That's what you have to do. Grab up before you leave, rabbi say, I don't know, everyone knows it's a shaila. Yes, selling chametz, you're selling chametz, and everyone's like, oh, well, my father does sell chametz. Fine, because it's a hate, right? But rabbi say, you don't have enough that it warrants keeping the chametz. You have 8 croutons left, right? 6 of them you can finish this Shabbos. Right, the 2 extra ones you can give out after Shabbos. Right, there's enough shvarts to help over here that I'm sure they needed before Passover, and you can give it to them. You have like epis, half a bottle of whiskey. Well, it's after Purim, you don't have any whiskey left, so that's not a problem. Right, what do you have, Sachakol? So just get rid of it. I don't understand why Bachar said, well, it's got like a whole box of tam tams. Right? What am I gonna do? Well, it's so crazy. It's mom should have some ruba. Right? So don't. Everybody says, not kedai. Clean out your room once a year. Don't be soymich on selling chametz. You should still sell the chametz, like Rabbi Rubin is saying. You could always have a rogalach and this and that. But clean out your bed. Clean out your room. Clean out your... Cleaning for Pesach, right, is very simple. Klapei, especially the type of Pesach cleaning we're doing. We are not cleaning for Pesach for the halachas that maybe something's going to fall into my food. Like the kitchen type Pesach cleaning like that. We have one issue. We just don't want to have ownership of chametz, right? Lalacha, what you guys are looking for, the fear of Moshe, I'll give you the most mekel shita. Just, again, this doesn't help for your house's cleaning when your mother's cleaning the kitchen, because there, we're more makbid, that food shouldn't fall into my food. But copy what you guys are looking for, you just don't want to be over in Bayura. So just not to be over in Bayura, so you have to make sure there's no kazesim, So you'll make sure there's no rogla. You look around your stuff, make sure there's not a rogla, a cookie, or this or that, a bottle of whiskey, whatever. It's good. You find things sometimes when you look. It's not your fair look. You know, you open up this, you find that. Look at there. It's a bacher. You haven't seen it. It's a geschmack. Once a year, you'll find the Ramesh's machmir on any food. Machmir, I'm saying this is the most makel sheet of all of everybody. Ramesh holds that if it's an edible food, even under a kazayas, like a crouton. A crouton is an edible food. It's a geschmack of food, right? So even though it's tiny, right? So you're looking for that. But crumbs, Ramesh goes, you don't have to worry about. Right? So I'm saying that means that even if you don't want to go mashiga and dust with all your clothing and all your this and everything, right? You go through, you find what's going on over there, you find the ruggle, you find the crouton, you find this, and the crumbs on the floor, you don't have to be chayshish for b'klal. Ramesh is not chayshish that. And according to that, you wouldn't have to check your svar if Ramesh is makel on. Fine. I'm saying, I'll give you the most makel sheet of all. The whole entire thing should take you half an hour. Now you know what you're looking for. That's the whole issue. When you help your mother to clean for Pesach, so then it's different because she's also trying to make sure that the stuff is not going to get into your food. So that takes about 45 minutes, not just a half an hour, as you understand.
What's the
chib bedik of a bacher? Oh, so chib bedik of a bacher is like this. You fellows are leaving before Pesach. However, you're within 30 days, right? So the night before you leave, when are you guys leaving? Monday?
Monday morning.
So Sunday night, You with the lights on, we don't have to turn off the light. When you're looking for something, you don't turn off a light, you turn it on. Right? So you can turn on the light, you don't make a bracha. Right? You walk around, and you do this bedika. First, you clean probably before, like I told you, you're going to do that now. You'll clean. And then you look in your area, and you're paidik, and that's the halacha. Everyone knows it's a shaila because this is a dormitory matzif, so it's really the Rosh Hashiva's building. Maybe it's not your chiyuv, but at least you're a shliach of the Rosh Hashiva. At least doing him a chesed, so it shouldn't be his problem. Why shouldn't you at least do a yid a chesed? He does so much chesedim for all of you. No, so you go the night before. You check your area. You have three rooms. It has a worker. There's three bachrim in the room. Four bachrim in the room. So you check what?
Three or four.
So you tell the four, okay. You check yours. You check yours. You check yours. The middle, right? One of you will be the cavalier and look for a ruggle on the floor. Right? It'll take all of 8 seconds. Right? 8 seconds. Maybe you'll split up those 8 seconds. You take two. You take that area of the mashutif area. Right? The only reason why we're so, it's like a tircha, it's like annoying, it's only because we think there's like so much involved with it. There's not so much involved with it. It's a very simple thing. Once you know what you're doing, you're looking for a ruggle, you're looking for a crouton, you're cleaning out your area beforehand anyways. The entire bedik will take you all of 35 seconds. Right, do you put out the 10 pieces or not? There's machlaikas because apikabala. It seems to be you don't need to put it out, but the mafreshim say that you should put the pieces out because the whole purpose of pieces, according to some rishonim, is it makes us look better. Come again? Even if you're not saying it, but it's a machlaikas. I'm saying, but there's other. Rabbi Yashiv has a truth about this in Kibbutz Saharis, and he brings down it's telling machlaikas rishonim. So therefore, the minig is to not be machmir. I'm going to be machmir on you guys because those rishonim say when you put out the 10 pieces, you look better because you have to look for the 10 pieces. Right? So just make sure that when you put out the 10 pieces, make sure the bacher you give it to, right? Number one, make sure he's not drunk. Extremely important, Rabbi Isai. Where'd you put the pieces? Right? Number two is I guess you should take pictures of everywhere that he put the pieces. If anybody can't handle putting out the pieces, they sell them in Eichler's in America, 10 pieces of bread, and you can some have it brought in by the time the bedika by Sunday night. I'm sure they can have it arranged that you can get 10 pieces. If you want, I'll also sell 10 pieces of bread. All right? $10 a piece. Okay, so I think it's crystal clear. Is everything crystal clear? Yeah. Crystal clear. Okay, good chums. Maybe. Thank you.